We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Audrey, it's Friday night. I'm so glad to be hanging out with you again. It's been a little bit of a long time since the last time we've hung out.
It has. We've been all over.
I know.
All over the map.
We've got to chase
the stories. Not being able to collide.
I know. It's been crazy. I mean, you've been out of town. We've had events all over the place. We've had just stories coming up all over the place that we're grabbing. And tonight is a really cool show. We have an assemblage of different things we've been doing over the past couple of weeks. I'm kind of excited to bring it to our listeners. And, you know, it was a few weeks ago, we had our Promoting Diverse Startups with Backstage Capital at the Kelly Strayhorn Theater. And it was a lot of fun to have this event, and I got to grab some really cool interviews with some entrepreneurs that are just doing some amazing things. And we have a special segment later on in the show that I kind of grabbed them all. We were literally backstage at the backstage event, which is really, really cool.
And you were interviewing the people who had an opportunity to talk to Backstage Capital.
Exactly. So, Audrey, tell us about Backstage Capital, because Del Johnson came into town. He's a partner with, or principal, at Backstage Capital. And it's a really cool,
I mean,
really cool firm.
Yeah, it's a cool story.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a woman by the name of Arlen Hamilton who's,
right.
who, you know, if you're listening, go on to Twitter, just follow her, and you can get a sense of what her passion is and what she's committed to. And she's committed to making sure that Black entrepreneurs and people who identify as LGBTQ have access to build money to build their companies.
Right.
So her hypothesis is that people who are in these categories, and I don't mean to label anyone, but in these categories,
right.
have not had access to capital. They've not had the right access to, quote-unquote, mentors, investors, advisors, et cetera. And she's trying to shine the light on that and making a commitment to invest in these companies through Backstage Capital.
And it was their first time in Pittsburgh.
And she's done that. The first time in Pittsburgh, Del Johnson came, had an opportunity to meet a wide range of people and people who have started companies, people who are looking for money, and people who are really looking for customers and advisors, et cetera. So it's not just that.
Absolutely.
And that was a ton of fun. It was great to hear about what his perspective was in terms of Backstage and just getting to know Pittsburgh on the ground.
Yeah.
They have sort of like an incubator / accelerator model that they've used.
I told them to bring it to Pittsburgh.
With their first fund. And they do have presence in Philadelphia. And I think he was very surprised about Pittsburgh. He came, he had a chance to do a little bit of a roundtable, meet people one-on-one, get some upfront view into some young companies at Carnegie Mellon. And, you know, some people who aren't affiliated with Carnegie Mellon, for him to just get a sense of what Pittsburgh's ecosystem is.
I was concerned about be overwhelming him at first. He had quite the packed schedule. I got to talk to him for a few minutes, which would be our next interview. I had a little one-on-one time with Dell just before his day began as he was in Pittsburgh.
Right.
I wish I could have interviewed him afterwards to get his change of perspective.
I think he totally was surprised. And you know what? It's not just Pittsburgh. I mean, I think he would be surprised no matter where he went and where he traveled.
Makes sense.
You know, I think the thing for us at the Tech Council is that it really opened our eyes in terms of what the actual needs are and what we can do to be more intentional about being more inclusive of people.
I think for me, you
have this tech ecosystem, you have this innovation ecosystem, and you've got people that are trying to solve all different kinds of problems. And I think that we need to just start to understand that the innovation can take shape in many different sizes, meaning not everyone is going to be a unicorn. There are just going to be companies that are going to have some early exits. There are going to be some companies that could scale, and we need to wrap our heads around figuring out some ways to help scaling them. And there's not one size fits all. And I know I've been saying that for over a decade, but I think it was just a good reset and reminder for me.
Absolutely.
Sort of like as a leader of the Tech Council, looking at all the different kinds of opportunities that people have. And very often we have a reliance on economic development dollars, money that comes from the state, different sorts of investments, and to realize we probably need at the Tech Council to make sure that we're bringing along and participating with other people who might not understand the work that we do in terms of how we are trying to open up pathways.
I think that's what I noticed the most at the event was there were many folks that didn't know what the Tech Council did.
Right, I know. And as we start to connect them and realize that, you know, whether it's looking for capital, like we, you know, we get a chance to talk to Huntington Bank and talk about their, you know, SBA, their Small Business Association, 7A loans. You know, we haven't, you know, done a good enough job trying to articulate that and convey that so that people can really begin to understand there might be opportunities for them. Also making sure that when people are building companies, of connecting them to customers that are right in their backyard and understanding that people haven't been a part of our ecosystem before, don't know how to ask.
Very good point.
So, you know, we're lucky in the team that we have at the Tech Council. We have the capability that we know how to help people to help them ask. We don't have to own the whole journey. We can step back. But what we can do is help them get, you know, really materially connected. This isn't a loose term of networking. This is really a hardened term of what it means to really pay it forward, be inclusive in terms of material outcomes. And that's something that we can do a better job of trying to help shape. And that was really, you know, people were all the same. When we're building a company, we're all the same. We just come with different, we come with different Achilles heels. We come with different views, and we come with different perspectives. Some of us are lucky to have had access because of the way we were born or where we live or where we went to school. Some of us don't. But that doesn't mean we don't have the same kinds of intentions and the same kind of drive for outcome and opportunity.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
I think that's always a good reminder for me.
Right.
To, you know, because I can go along and I can articulate where I think we need to go, but it isn't one size fits all. And I think as Pittsburgh, we need to remember that part of our own problems are that we tend to think often, oh, if this is going well, then it must be going well.
For everybody,
and
exactly.
It's not really going well.
Very good.
And I think that was the beauty of having Backstage Capital here in Pittsburgh. Just like the
shook
one,
it up a little bit.
Just the one little eye-opening piece opened up the doors for our whole team to be thinking about.
For sure.
Ah, well, we could do this.
I just think about, so the interviews we'll have later on in the show in about 20 minutes, talk to KYKS, Keeping Your Kids Safe. Talked with Mighty and talked with Wolf Component, all companies I had never really heard of before and wouldn't have unless I was at that event. So it was forcing some new connections and getting people to intersect. And I was really happy to bring some of those stories to tonight's show so people can learn a little bit more about it. So I was literally backstage at the Backstage Capital event bringing you some of those interviews. And we also have Michael Anakin, the CEO of the McGee Women's Research Institute. He came in a few weeks ago to our podcast studio, the Huntington Bank podcast studio, for a quick interview because that is a center that is absolutely amazing to me. The amount of research that's going on there, all directed towards women, is amazing. And they are leading the world around this. And it's a little known story in Pittsburgh. And so that's another great story that we're trying to tell here, that there's McGee Women's Research Institute right in our backyard doing some really transformative work.
Listen, we're never going to be a great city. We're never going to be a great region if we leave out half of our people.
Exactly right.
If they don't have access and we leave people, half of them out, who are we? What are we?
Exactly. Yeah.
We're not a place where people thrive.
It's good conversations to be having and hopefully moving things forward by having them and putting a spotlight on some of these stories. So that's why I love getting behind the mic. I'm glad we got to hang out to get this intro recorded and put together so we can kick off another, I don't want to call it a kaleidoscope, but it is a very diverse show we have tonight with just a bunch of different stories coming together, everything from research to entrepreneurship to venture investing, all in one show. That's Tech Vibe Radio. Whew, it's a lot. It's a lot of fun. Simple as that. So we're taking a quick break and taking a deep breath, and we're coming back with a lot more Tech Vibe. This is Jonathan Kirstein.
And this is Audrey Rousseau.
Learn more about the Pittsburgh Tech Council by going to pghtech.org. Welcome back, and you are indeed listening to Tech Vibe Radio here on KDKA. This is Jonathan Kirstein with the Pittsburgh Technology Council. And at the PTC, we get really excited when new people come to town, people who are really shaking things up, really trying to, you know, make the world a better place, to make sure that, like, The money goes to where people need it. And we have Backstage Capital with us. We have Del Johnson, who's a principal at Backstage Capital. And this is just a really, really cool organization that are really just finding new ways to really just invigorate economies and to get the smartest people the capital and the connections they need to grow companies. So, Del, welcome to the show today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And welcome to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's my first time.
Cool. I mean, obviously, you've just hit the ground. Any thoughts so far of our fair city here in at our Nova Place podcast studio? Anything catching your eye so far?
Yeah, it's a beautiful city. I love how everything is kind of centrally located. I saw the stadiums. They're kind of right next to each other, although the airport is a little far out.
It's a little bit of a drive, like yeah. 12 miles. But once you get through, did you get through the Fort Pitt Tunnel and then you see the city as you pop through?
Absolutely.
That's
yeah.
always our
yeah,
signature
that is
welcome
nice.
To Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I remember looking at it because when the Pirates baseball stadium opened and I guess the Steelers stadium is also relatively new as well. And they had the shots of the river, and it's reminiscent of San Francisco with the Giants
right.
stadium. And that's where I grew up.
Okay, cool.
The water and the rivers and things like that. So yeah, very beautiful.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, tell you what, first off, what's your background real quick? Who is Del Jones?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I grew up in the Bay Area in the Silicon Valley, which is, it's pretty interesting because I did not know that the quote Silicon Valley existed. I did not know that tech existed until I was an adult and
really?
I left.
Well, that's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And I had just kind of regular jobs for a little while, did a lot of sales work, and then decided that I wanted to go to college. So I went to the University of California, Berkeley. After that, I worked in tech. I was at Oracle and Google doing sales and recruiting. Then I went to law school at Columbia and decided that I wanted to pursue venture capital instead of law.
Okay. And then so as you're pursuing venture capital, I mean, that's kind of like that's a big deal. What brought you to Backstage from that?
Just seeing the mission.
And very cool.
Yeah, I wanted to do something that kind of aligned my values with my skills.
Right.
And I was just very fortunate to be able to kind of get on that rocket ship while it was still in dock. I approached Arlen with the idea of working for her in early 2017, just when Backstage was starting to get a little bit of press. And I was kind of lucky that she responded and was open to the idea of working with her. So I just kept progressively increasing my role within the company, and eventually I became a principal at the fund.
Very cool. Now, Backstage Capital, I think, is so cool because it's not your traditional VC. You're addressing some really important factors that are happening in our society today where less than 10% of venture capital goes to women and people of color and LGBT founders these days, which I thought that number was high. I thought it was even less than that. And you guys specialize in getting dollars to these types of founders. Why do you guys do that?
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple of reasons. You know, people focus on the social aspect of it and the mission, and obviously that's extremely important, but there's a financial piece to it as well.
For sure.
Right? These are communities that have historically been building companies, building capital efficient companies, doing more with less, as we like to say. And the idea behind what we do is if we can supercharge them with even tiny amounts of startup capital, then they're going to be able to 10x, 100x
right.
that capital quicker than people from traditional backgrounds who oftentimes haven't had to deal with the same financial constraints as underrepresented people.
Exactly. That is, to me, just so powerful. I'm assuming you're pretty unique in this field as well, too. I don't see too many people that are like competing with you in this area, for lack of a better term. So what you're doing is very unique, huh?
We're rare, but not unique.
Okay.
Yeah. There are definitely some folks who have come before us. A lot of black venture capitalists specifically have been doing this work within their organizations for years, even before Arlen started. I know of some funds that had a diversity thesis that existed a decade ago.
Really?
Okay. I've heard of some, and then obviously there are some that still exist, like Caper Capital, that has a social mission tied to what it's doing. It's doing great work in the Bay Area, and then also entrants that came along around the same time as us, like Harlem Capital, doing great work on the East Coast as well.
Very cool. Reminding our listeners, we are talking to Del Johnson, the principal at Backstage Capital. So, Del, tell us, like, what is a typical investment size you put into a company these days?
Yeah, right now, since we've launched our 4-City Accelerator, we've been putting in $100,000 checks.
Okay.
Yeah, we think that's a good amount to start with. Historically, we want it to be that kind of friends and family round because the reality of the situation is a lot of times underrepresented people and Black and Latinx folks specifically don't have the same friends and family networks as other entrepreneurs, and so it has been difficult for them to get their ideas off of the ground. So the original Backstage Capital Fund, from which we invested almost $5 million from, was geared to be that initial source.
Gotcha. So tell us a little bit how the accelerator works. I love the concept of these because you're putting money in, but you're also putting connections and business building expertise. And you're in 4 cities. So you're like in Detroit. What are the cities that you guys are in?
So we're in Detroit. We're in Philadelphia. We're in London. And we're in L.A. We just launched L.A. last night. You can look at Arlen's Twitter. This will come out a little bit later, but
excellent.
Just go
very
down
cool.
the Twitter and you'll see some of the pictures from it.
Love it.
And there's a great showing from the community, and we've had a lot of support within our different ecosystems. And a lot of this came from Arlen and us and just kind of traversing the United States and in Europe and seeing these ecosystems where there was a lot of unleashed underrepresented talent,
gotcha.
Right? And thinking of what are the best ways to jumpstart these communities? I mean, we could have raised another fund. We debated this internally about what we wanted to do. We could have probably, raised another micro VC or do this accelerator program. And we just thought the impact of this,
the accelerator,
bringing
right.
folks together
exactly.
in communities from LPs, high net worth individuals, corporations, right, all the way to the entrepreneur and the investment community, showing folks that they can invest in the people that are already in their cities instead
Love
of
it.
Having to go to
right.
this coast or that coast.
It's so powerful, and I just want to see this thing grow and grow and grow and grow because I just feel like the seeds are there and we're seeing things starting to flourish from it. So if people want to get connected into Backstage, how can they learn more about you guys?
Yeah, if you're an entrepreneur, we open applications pretty regularly. Right now, they're closed, but you can always reach me. It's del@backstagecapital.com. Give me a little bit of time to respond, but I try to respond everyone. If you
Love
have
it.
Some sort of question, the response might just be applications are closed right now.
Right.
But if you have a specific question about me or the work that we do, just mention that you heard about it on the podcast.
Even better yet. I love
time.
It.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very, very cool. I just think it's just fantastic stuff. And so once again, I'm hoping that we hear about the Pittsburgh office opening up one of these days because I'm really excited for you to be here in Pittsburgh seeing what our city is doing. And I think you'll see there's a lot of opportunity here. So, Del, I can't thank you enough for hanging out with us today and being part of what we're doing here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it, and I'm really excited to see what the city has to offer today.
Very, very cool. Hey, everyone. This is Jonathan Kirsting with the Pittsburgh Technology Council, bringing you Tech Vibe Radio here. Learn more about the Pittsburgh Technology Council by going to pghtech.org. Follow us on Twitter @pghtech. We'll be right back after this quick break. Thanks so much. Welcome back to Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsting with the Pittsburgh Technology Council. As promised, I have 3 interviews from our Promoting Diverse Startups that we had back a few weeks ago at the Kelly Strayhorn Theater. So excited to bring you these interviews. Some really inspiring women here to listen to. And we're talking to Jen Yosef of Mighty. Cool company. So Jen, thanks for taking the time to talk to me. I know you're super busy and all. So first off, What is MITEI?
So MITEI is a very simple concept. We are really trying to disrupt the home improvement marketplace, but we're starting out very much focused on the real estate transaction, where we know inspections is that huge pain point. The buyer, seller, realtor understand that this could be deal-breaking.
It's always the deal-breaker. I know this from personal experience, just saying, okay.
Yes, and that's the best part, right, that anytime we talk about this concept, everybody can relate to it because everybody has bought a house or is looking to buy one, right? And so what we've designed is a platform that all agents have to do is once the inspections are done, you take the inspection report, upload it into our platform, and submit it to us, and within 24 hours, you get customized estimates. So an inspection report is a problem, right? And everybody looks at it and is like, I don't know how much all this stuff is going to cost. Right now, the marketplace is so scattered where the realtor and the buyer have to call several contractors, hope somebody will show up and go out there.
It's the showing up part, too.
It's the showing up, the reliability, and how do you know if those estimates are actual standardized numbers? We know it's estimates, but you need a reliable resource. And that's where our artificial intelligence technology comes into play.
Use my favorite two words, artificial and intelligence, especially in that combination.
And it is. It's beautiful, right, when you can take technology, but then also have the human element part that we have with estimators, combine the two, and deliver a product that's solving a huge pain point. So from a 7 to 10 day process of getting estimates, we're reducing it to 24 hours.
That is amazing.
Which,
I mean, you have to have people like jumping up and down knowing that this is out there and available. So this is in the marketplace now?
Absolutely.
So who's using it in Pittsburgh?
So we pretty much are, have a lot of realtors. So we have about 250 active realtors that are using our platform, and we're hoping to expand it to even more. It's the beauty about our product is we don't even have to spend too much money on marketing efforts because
it's word of mouth, man. Because the way the real estate industry works, once someone's using it, I mean, everyone else is going to catch.
Absolutely. So I think right now our product is right. We deliver estimates from inspections in 24 hours, and the realtors, I mean, everybody's eyes are just popping out. They're like, we need this.
You see, my eyes are popping out right now. Because I know what these points are.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it's such a huge pain point. So that's our goal, is to get this in the hands of as many realtors, real estate brokerage firms, and then also be able to scale from there on the repair parts.
So how many deals have you saved? I'm assuming since you can simplify this so much. Because a lot of times when an inspection comes back and there's something wrong, everyone freaks out and people say, I'm walking from the deal. But if you can say, wait, no, in 24 hours, we can say it's going to cost you this. It can be fixed. They're going to show up and do it. And the deal can go through. I'm assuming you're saving a lot of real estate deals.
Absolutely. I mean, we've done over the course of just the last year, more than 1,500 of these estimates, inspection-based estimates. And hundreds of them, we've gotten responses back from realtors that are telling us, if we did not get these estimates as quickly as MITEI delivered them, the deal would have fallen through.
Always, 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 always having a great time. I get to meet the coolest people when I take the Tech Vibe radio show on the road and into the scene. We have Jen Sadusky-Hurd from ConnectWolf as part of our Promoting Diverse Startups event here at the Kelly Strayhorn Theater. Thanks for hanging out with me tonight. And first off, who are you? I've never met you before. I'm so excited to meet you and learn more about you.
Thank you. I'm Jen. I have a background in biotech and bioengineering. I've worked at a couple of startups. This is the first one that I'm starting from the ground up, though. And I've grabbed a bunch of people who really know what they're doing, and we have built from kind of an idea over the past few months into a proof of concept and an app demo. We're taking those first early steps, done a lot of customer research, and just kind of building those early pieces here.
So you're just fresh out doing this then?
For the past year or so, it started out as an idea. And then we got one person on, and then we got another person on. And so
and all of a sudden you have a company, right?
You're all of a sudden we have a company.
How did this happen?
We just got an embedded engineer last week, so suddenly we're six.
Okay, you're a real company. You have an embedded engineer. Something good's going on as far as that goes, I got to say. So tell our listeners, what exactly do you guys do? What problems are you solving?
So when I first was pregnant and I was looking for, the things that I needed for being a mom, being a working mom, being, the person that I am outside of what a mom mom is, I was thinking, you know, hey, I should find something that I can check on my kid in the same way that I can see how many steps my husband's taken today or how well my grandma slept last night, because we were in the same jawbone environment or whatever. And I'm looking for it, and it just didn't exist. So I have the baby, and I'm waiting for it. And there are all these things that fill in little pieces of that. Like, as long as you're nearby with your Bluetooth, maybe you can keep an eye on. Or there are all these like little things, but they didn't quite solve the problem. And so little by little, I ended up solving the problem.
That's so cool. This is why I absolutely love, you know, when it comes to entrepreneurship, someone sees a problem and they got the kahunas to say, I'm going to solve it. So what's it been like? I mean, obviously up to 6 employees and growing this thing. I mean, what's been the toughest part about doing what you do every day?
I'd say that the toughest part is focusing in. There's actually doing all this customer research, talking to all these moms, trying to find out like what their problems are that technology can solve or what we could attach to this to you know, make their experience even better. It's very broad. There's so many things that they're like, oh, we need something that does this. So I say the hardest thing, especially in those early days, was dialing in the very specific piece that we were going to focus on that was the highest pain point and just the biggest problem that touched the most people.
Very much so. And so what are your thoughts on Pittsburgh convening more events like this to, you know, help folks that are currently in the situation you are, you know, being a woman, starting a company? That's no easy task. You're a mom on top. That's your full-time job, being a mom. You have another full-time job starting a company. But then really just inspiring people to realize, like, no, there's a lot of different folks out here starting companies. How do we you know, get in front of all of them and try to help get them all, you know, in that mode of success?
I think it's spectacular, and I look forward to seeing even more of it. I know that I've been interested in kind of the idea of starting companies for a long time. I've been in the tech world and in the biotech world, and most of the representation that you see on TechCrunch, or, you know, it's mostly guys.
Exactly.
It's mostly young guys.
And more than half the world is women, so come on. We're missing half the boat here, right?
That's right. So I mean, there are certain pictures of people that you typically see, and so I love these sorts of events just because it gets the word out that, you know, yeah, like you said, lots of different types of people can solve all these types of problems. So.
And we have Tabitha Barron from Keeping Your Kids Safe, KYKS. Very cool company, and the inspiration behind it is phenomenal. I've talked to you before, back at Demo Day. So I'm so excited to see you again, Tabitha. Thanks for hanging out with us. First and foremost, tell us about yourself and why you founded Kix. And there's a great story behind this.
Oh, yes. So I founded Kix. My name is Tabitha, and I founded Kix because my niece was placed on a wrong school bus twice in the same school year as a 5-year-old and a kinder. So she's put 5 miles away from home. And so therefore, parents or administrators, they ignore little people all the time. So we needed to give them a voice that couldn't be ignored. We have a tendency to rely heavily on technology, so why not put technology in their hands so it can avoid incidents that continue to happen across the United States?
What I love about this is something terrible like that happens, and someone will just complain and yell and scream and say something needs to be done. You're doing something about it, and that's what I love, and using a technology solution behind it. Can you tell our listeners how this solution works?
Absolutely. So each child gets a card. Each administrator gets a tablet. The child scans the card. When they're in the correct location, their picture shows up and it identifies where they're supposed to be, and they send them on. If they're in the incorrect location, a redirection screen appears with their picture, and that way you can actually redirect them to where they belong, and then everyone knows where they belong and where they're supposed to get off, and then you can reject the ride, parents get a text message, and then everybody can move forward.
It seems like such a common sense solution. Someone else should have thought of this earlier, but it takes someone as smart as you to figure this out. It sounds so simple, but obviously very complicated to have this system work and to have a technology backbone that's, you know, navigating the student through the process, and then the administrators see, and then there's a checkoff knowing, okay, all is safe and clear, or it's not, averting the problem. So what's the adoption been like so far, getting this into the marketplace?
So status quo seems to be the biggest barrier. They don't really like change so much, but we do have schools who are very excited to be a part of our family, and they've been able to find multiple mistakes that they've made before they have become nightmares. So they really do like it. The parents stop me on the street, which I find very bizarre. But they stop
Tabitha,
me on the street,
Tabitha.
And they're like, hey, how are you? I'm not getting my text messages. And so one lady, I actually stopped her yesterday to ask her a question. And then she texted me and told me, hey, here's my information. Thank you for updating my file. So they want to receive the messages. They want to have that peace of mind. They want to know that their child is coming out. One gentleman, he called the school while I was there, and he says, hey, I didn't get my text message. Where's my kid? And they're like, oh, we still have him. He was, you know, being, he was under some type of conversation or whatever about his bad behavior. But at least the parent knew that he didn't receive that message, so now he needs to ask a question before the doors of the school closed and locked and the phones were no longer available for the parents to call into. So I thought it was good. Those are really good stories.
Oh, that's what it's all about. I mean, let's talk about like literally saving people's lives as far as that goes. I just find that absolutely amazing. So one last question. I mean, how important is it for us to be having events like this to put a spotlight on some of the entrepreneurs and people that don't get the spotlight? At the end of the day, like, we want to encourage everybody and anybody to be able to start a company, to go out there and do it. And to have an event like this to maybe inspire some folks and get people more in the know that Pittsburgh's a place we can do this. What are your thoughts on that?
I really do believe that that's true, because most of the things that we have today is actually based out of somebody's pain point. So it is, if you have a pain point and if you feel like you can add value to it, because we can complain about it, but until we do anything about it, then we're just nothing. We're just part of the problem, right? So I would highly recommend people to go and try to identify what their pain points are and put into action what they're trying to resolve. Absolutely.
So keep your dial tuned right here to Tech Vibe Radio. We have much more coming your way. This is Jonathan Kirsting with the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn more about us by going to pghtech.org. Welcome back, everybody. So glad you're dialed into Tech Vibe Radio. We're bringing you this segment from the Huntington Bank podcast studio here at the Pittsburgh Technology Council's headquarters at Nova Place. Love having this space because we get to talk to the coolest people. And one of the folks I'm talking to right now is Michael Anakin. He's the president and CEO of the McGee Women's Research Institute. Really cool organization that you may not have heard of, but it's one of these places that is really making Pittsburgh the awesome city that it is today. So Mike, welcome to the show today.
Thanks, Jonathan. Thanks for having me.
So glad to have you here. When I learned about what the McGee Women's Research Institute was up to, it completely blew my mind. That I didn't realize we had such an awesome resource right here in Pittsburgh. I will do it no justice saying what it does. You're the man on the scene when it comes to it. So quickly, give us your background real fast. Who is Michael Anakin? And give us the quick nickel tour of what's happening over at McGee.
Yeah, so first of all, you know, my background is I've started and run multiple businesses in my lifetime. I was fortunate enough to land with McGee Women's Research Institute because it's not a business. It's a research institute that is not for profit. And we are actually the largest research institute in the United States focused on women's health. And this was an opportunity for me to dig into something that was a lot bigger than just the dollars we can represent. I mean, we're having an impact that's not only helping women and children of this generation, but for generations to come.
So oh, yeah.
It's really an incredible place. And the work that we do has impact worldwide. And it's really a good place to go to every day with your coworkers and look around and say, hey, what can we do today that will impact tomorrow?
Oh, I mean, that to me is, it's like that double score. I mean, it's something where you talk about the dollars about it, but it's at the end of the day, it's the quality of life that you're providing, you know, women.
Yeah.
With the research and the education that you guys perform as far as that is. So give us a little history of the center or the institute.
Yeah.
And kind of how and what it's doing now. And we'll jump into some of the cool research that you guys are doing, the education.
Sure.
And you guys put on this huge summit that attracts literally researchers from around the world. I mean, like I said, there's so much to talk to. I'm like, there's not enough time.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot to pack in. I mean, we're 26 years old. We were started in 1992. Actually, and everybody regionally thinks of McGee Women's Hospital and the world-class care that we deliver at the hospital.
That's like synonymous with Pittsburgh.
Exactly.
I was born at McGee Hospital in 1972, for crying out loud. 50%
of the population in Western Pennsylvania was born at McGee Hospital.
Exactly.
Or not. So it's great. It's great that we have a world-class clinical care facility associated with us. But what people don't know is that outside the hospital and integral to that care that we deliver is the Research Institute. And we have over 300 170 faculty and staff working on all aspects of women's health research. So we often think of McGee as pregnancy research, but we do more than that. We do women's cancers. We do aging research. We do health and wellness research. We do reproductive biology. So prior to when we're getting pregnant, we do early human development. So those years that or those months that we spend in utero, and the effects of those months on the next 90 years of health and wellness. So we do a lot of research, and really it all centers around creating healthier communities. You know, the misnomer is that women's research is for the benefit of women, but neither of us were born to a man.
That's what I thought about that. You're exactly right.
Right. So, I mean, the research we do impacts both men and women, and our goal is to create healthier societies by creating healthier moms and healthier babies.
And also, I mean, obviously, traditionally, most, you know, medical research is around, I guess, males, right? Thinking that it applies to women, but there's so many things about women that are just completely different than men that you have to have different research. A different focus on that.
Absolutely. That's, you know, so traditionally research was done on male animals. They were cheaper. They did not have menstrual cycles to go through. They did not have hormonal cycles or imbalances at times that would throw off the research. So it was a way to simplify the findings.
Right.
And really to save costs. In 1991, Congress said that female animals, female subjects needed to also be included in research. But really, prior to us in 1992, there was no specific research institute that was dedicated to women's health. So we were the first in the nation to really take on that charge and say, hey, we've got some catching up to do, so let's focus exclusively on that. So now, when other research institutes across the country have studies that they want to involve female patients or female subjects, they'll come to us for our expertise. So we've got actual clinical and academic collaborations pretty much with every academic institution in the United States that's doing research, or at one time had them with every academic institution that's doing research, as well as partnerships on 5 continents in 14 countries. So we're really the world leader when it comes to women's health research.
Serious reach. Just to remind our listeners, we're from the Huntington Bank studio here talking to Michael Anakin, the president and CEO of McGee Women's Research Institute. If you go to mcgeewomens.org, you can you need to go there and check their site out, because literally you can see all the research, all the education that they're doing. I mean, you could spend an hour on the site just nerding out, reading all the great work that you guys are up to. So do we have a couple minutes to talk about what's some of the bigger research projects that are going on right now? What are some of the bigger problems you guys are tackling?
Well, one of the big problems we're trying to solve for in Allegheny County, and hopefully we can utilize as a model throughout the United States, is infant mortality. And infant mortality is defined by mortality from age 0 or 1 day to 1 year old.
Okay.
It's unfortunately one of those things that has not gone down as much as we feel it should have.
Well, that's interesting you say that, because I feel like I've seen studies where it says like the United States is actually like we're way behind other countries, and this shouldn't be happening, right?
That's right. And it particularly affects certain populations differently than others. And Allegheny County has a high infant mortality rate, in particular in African-American populations.
Okay.
So we're trying to solve for that in many different ways. Richard King Mellon sponsored a large grant that included not only us as the leader of the project, but also Pitt and Rand and Stanford. So we're trying to come together to understand what those issues are and how they're being caused. We're several iterations into the project now, and we're having some success in identifying interventions that we may be able to deliver sooner, finding opportunities to kind of create medical and non-medical interventions that might affect the outcomes.
Right.
So we're working on that. That's pretty big. And
that's just huge. I mean, from that, how you can then scale that out. I mean, obviously that applies across the United States.
Yeah. I mean, there's areas in Allegheny County that look like areas in Detroit, that look like areas in Memphis, that look like, you know. So we're trying to understand how to use Allegheny County as a model and then to roll this model out nationally and potentially internationally.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
So tell us about some other areas of research that are going on. I mean, I'm thinking about, like, I mean, talk about just women's health in general, right?
Yeah.
What's going on in those regards?
Well, you know, we have one of the largest women's cancer research centers in the United States. It's in conjunction with Hillman, so it's a partnership between Hillman and McGee. All of the docs that are working on patients at either Hillman or McGee contribute samples to our precision medicine department, and we will look at therapeutic opportunities to treat individual cancers differently in different patients. And so what we're finding is we're having some success with immunotherapies and individualized treatments because we have a robust tumor bank. We have one of the largest tumor banks in the world, and we've been collecting data since 1995.
Right, and so 25 plus years of data there.
Yeah, and so, jeez, you know, it's thank you to the foresight of somebody who in 1995 decided that we needed to begin to bank these tumors and understand that medical technology at the time may not have been able to solve for these issues, but future medical technologies might be. And so we're able to go back now and pull tumors and look and see what...
That's crazy.
Yeah, what may we be able to do to combine approved therapies now to create better outcomes. So we're having a lot of success in that area as well.
That is just absolutely fascinating to me. Yeah. You know, that's happening right here in Pittsburgh and Oakland.
Yeah.
You know, at McGee, it's to me, it's just one of those things where it's like, wow, this is why we love being able to tell these types of stories. Now, earlier we mentioned in the show that you just came off of a summit that you guys had. It brought tons of researchers to Pittsburgh, and you're going to be doing another one in the 2021.
Yes, and also thanks to the Richard King Mellon Foundation, they sponsored what we called our McGee Summit and okay. McGee Prize. And the McGee Summit was really designed to sort of put a stake in the ground for women's health research. Yeah. Being the world leader, what we realize is there's underserved populations out there across the world that don't have the knowledge base that we have when it comes to women's health. And it was incumbent upon us to get the word out. We hear stories all the time about people who were misdiagnosed and end up dying from ovarian cancer.
Right, right, right.
The reality is women's health has been traditionally understudied, and it's really not as well understood in many communities as we understand it here in Pittsburgh. We're very lucky to have the health system we do here in Pittsburgh, but we felt it was our obligation to sort of share that knowledge with the rest of the world, and at the same time, trying to understand what problems are challenging those communities out there.
Yeah, it's a back and forth.
It was a back and forth. And so we put together a Women's Health Summit. We had 525 scientists from around the world. We had over 25 countries represented.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
25 countries in Pittsburgh. So cool.
It was really cool. And the Gates Foundation sponsored low and middle income countries to come. Scientists from low and middle
income. Able to bring them in. And
our
so
goal
cool.
was to have everybody at right. the table. We wanted to make sure everybody had a seat, everybody had a voice, everybody had an opinion.
I can only imagine the impact from that and the fact that you're doing this again and you're going to keep building and building.
We're going to keep building, and the goal is to give away $1 million at that summit to the most groundbreaking research that we see coming from that. Where we
Amazing.
Can add our infrastructure and our expertise by partnering with great science somewhere in the world. We had collaborations this year from Washington and from Vancouver.
Okay.
So it was really the energy and the impact in that room. A lot of people left with some great new ideas. We're going to reconvene in 2 years, see where those ideas went, see what we
exactly.
can fund, and see how we can accelerate that process into the market.
So just go to mcgeewomens.org. And keep your dial tuned to that, because that is just an amazing thing to be here in Pittsburgh. What an awesome resource with the McGee Women's Research Institute. Michael Anakin, you get to have way too much fun doing what you do. I mean, you're leading an organization that is just so positively impacting, you know, millions of lives.
I feel very fortunate. I really do.
Awesome stuff. So glad we got to talk about this today. We need to have you back on the show to talk about more of this, because there's so many stories coming out of there. Hardly even touched half the things we wanted to get to, but that is why we have compressed time. It kills us, and we have just a little bit of time to talk
about
this.
Okay, I'm not far. I can come back.
Absolutely. We're going to definitely have you back. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Hey, this is Jonathan Kirsting with the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn more about us at pghtech.org.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.